Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Johnny Cardinale tells a personal story about being awkward in high school and a girl he should have asked out.
The funnest time I had in high school was science class with you. And she goes, I had you ask me out, I would have gone out in a heartbeat. This whole time, and I realized, oh my God, why didn't I just ask her out no matter what, even if she said no? And you know what? I started realizing after that, I'm still like that today. People think like I'm this, you know, you see me at the improv, I'm talking to everybody, and I'm a... But when it comes to somebody I really like, they get very shy.
Today on Storyworthy, comedian Johnny Cardinale tells a personal story about being awkward in high school and the one that got away. Stay close.
Hey, it's Johnny Cardinale, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you are a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week with comedian Mike Falzone, and he and I were talking about open mic comedy. The name of the show was The Truth About Open Mic Comedy, Johnny Cardinale.
It was very true.
It was true, right?
I enjoyed listening to that episode.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, I don't think you have to be a stand-up to appreciate it. I think anybody would appreciate it, just in terms of like it's kind of talking inside baseball. But it's interesting. It's technical.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people that have always wondered about doing an open mic. A lot of people.
Yeah.
So some good insight, you know.
Yeah, I think so too. I think I've read somewhere something about like only 2% of the whole population enjoys speaking in public.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'd say that's... Might even be high. What's the quote? Dying is easy.
Comedy is hard.
Yeah, exactly.
I quoted that last week newsletter.
Okay.
Speaking of which, folks, you ought to join my newsletter. Head over to storyworthypodcast.com. I haven't pitched that in a long time, so I don't feel bad about saying that.
I'm glad I led you into it then.
Yeah, see? That's not a bad thing.
Absolutely not.
So anyway, you guys, go back and listen to Mike Falzone from last week and the open mic comedy show. It's really very good, but not today.
Well, hold on one second, though.
Well, we're here. No, I'm not introducing you. I just want to tell him I'm sitting here with you.
Oh, okay. No, I was going to say the Mike Falzone podcast, it was kind of odd. He said his wife, he's very close with his wife. She's from Kosovo.
Yeah.
I've been...
Wait a minute, Albania. Is that Kosovo? She's from Albania.
Okay, but didn't he say... I heard him say Kosovo.
We were talking about the region. Yeah,
okay, because I've been to Kosovo 3 times.
Wow, that's ironic.
That's what I'm saying.
That's so ironic. And that was on USO tours and stuff?
Yeah, I've done 17 of them.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you keep going with the same company, as it were?
It's Armed Forces Entertainment. Uh-huh. They were like, I guess, a tier below USO.
I see.
For years. But now they're... pretty comparable. I mean, they send over really big acts.
Yeah.
They big bands go over there.
How do they choose where they go? I guess everybody gets a shot, right? I mean, there must be a budget, and then they make sure that everybody gets entertained.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I actually just got done with one. It was the first time, like I said, I've done 17 of them. It was the first time I've ever gone in the United States. We went up to Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, interesting.
And of all things, they told us, that he goes, those guys really need it. He goes, it's the number one suicide rate in the entire military in Fairbanks, Alaska.
I believe that.
Yeah, when I got up there, I realized why. I mean, it's minus 30 for months, and they're shut in. And there's nothing to do, but I also talk to a lot of people who love it up there.
And it's very white, and like everything, it's like blinding white, right?
Yeah.
Or is it dark a lot?
Well, I mean, we were up there when it was just starting to snow. We were up there like late October.
Yeah.
But I looked at the weather. I'm not going to lie. It was like 20s, 25, 26 when we were there. I think about 10 days after we left, I checked just the weather thing on my phone. It was -4.
And how many people were based up there?
Well, on the base that we went on, there was several hundred. And they're like, everything is indoors. They could go months without leaving the entire building. Everything.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So the tracks and all the workout stuff. And I mean, everything.
Yeah, their living quarters, fields. Everything. Yeah. For months, they do not have to leave the building.
Wow.
So
that's so, I feel like that would be depressing.
Oh, really depressing.
And then there must be alcoholism and people are bored and all that.
I mean, the military does try to monitor that sort of thing. Like sometimes, I've been on bases big bases in different countries and stuff, where they're allowed like 3 drinks per night. That's
interesting.
It. Yeah, they have to get little coins. And one time we were on a base doing our show, and the commander went up there and said, "Hey, because we got the comedians here, everybody's allowed 4 drinks." And they all went, "Yeah."
Wow.
Because they were able, and I mean like 4 beers. I don't mean like hardcore drinks.
Yeah, it's not 4 Long Island iced teas.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And all these bases, of course, are men and women, right?
Yep.
Everybody's together when you do the shows, obviously.
I mean, you know, just kind of like in the comedy world, there's way more guys than there are females.
Yeah. You mean in the military? I mean, the military.
Yeah, in the bases.
I guess so.
Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. I guess so. And so, are there any that you really want to go back to, or like, do they all get kind of similar? I guess because like it must be about like what can you do in your time off.
Yeah, I mean, it's what can I do or what can they do?
What do you do? Like when you go to a base like in Kosovo, you must have some downtime. So what do you do?
You know, it depends. The one in Kosovo, it's a completely dry base. So they don't have like hardly anything. And the military guys can't leave the base.
Wow.
So I've been there twice on Christmas Day, did shows there on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And they're so happy to have us.
Yeah. Oh, that, my gosh.
And I just, I was on the phone with AFE one time, and because I always tell the comics, you know, hey, guys, the show is one thing, but hanging out with the guys afterwards, that's actually more important than the show itself.
That's what they want. Yeah, they need some outside blood to come in.
Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, if they want to take us, like, during the day and show us the helicopters, like, I've sat in Cherokee helicopters.
Sure.
And let these guys go on and on, tell us what this switch means and the engine. Yeah. And you know, nothing sinks in, but... It's them letting us.
I know.
It's their moment to shine.
I know. It's very much a giving thing to do. I went with the Blue Angels one time. And went down and got to, you know, actually at the last minute, I was not allowed to go up. I was working on this television show and they couldn't get the insurance clearance for me.
Which
was bullshit. But anyway, but I did get to go. You know, we got to go on the planes. And then just like you said, they love to show you around and they take their time. And
it's pretty awesome.
It's a really, really kind thing to do on both sides. It's like a nice reciprocity. How do you say it?
Reciprocity.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm impressed that you do all those things.
Thanks.
All those.
Yeah.
That's
just
a lot. Kinda,
I don't just got started with it years ago, and here we are now.
And you've done comedy for so long. I mean, you've been at it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Where are you originally from again?
Originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
That's right, because I'm from Pittsburgh.
That's right. But I moved out when I was 10 with my parents. Patrick Keane, comedian, he has the best joke. He goes, "Yeah, I ran away from home when I was 11. Of course, my parents came with me, and we bought a house." Such a great joke.
Why
so I'm giving him full
parents...
credit. But I grew up in the Inland Empire. I grew up in a little city called Calamasa, the middle of nowhere.
Calamasa. Never heard of it.
Yeah. It's...
And why did your parents come out here when you were 10?
My grandfather and my dad went house on some property. My grandfather used to come out to California every winter for like 17 years, just because he was a landscaper.
It's interesting.
So he couldn't work because of the snow. So he'd come out here and they always sort of had a fascination with moving. They moved to California once when they were my grandparents.
Yeah.
When they were younger, they built a hotel in Pomona. Then they sold it, moved back to Ohio, went through some hard times. So just all that, you know, life stuff. And then finally they got an opportunity to move out of some piece of property in the middle of nowhere that my uncle, my great uncle, sort of called my grandfather and said, "Hey, you might want to take a look at this property." I don't know how he found it. They bought it, and all of a sudden, my dad goes, "We're moving in 6 weeks." I'm like,
"Oh boy!"
Exciting! Though. But then I was like grew up in a really cool place where you knew all the neighbors. I had to go play in the neighbor's house. Nobody locked their doors, kind of neighborhood. To this Calamasa, I had a 1-hour bus ride to school every day and a 1-hour bus ride
so
home.
So it's like in the middle of nowhere.
It's actually right by Beaumont, where you're going to be doing my show next month, my comedy
show.
That's
so interesting.
Yeah, so that's where I grew
up. Oh my gosh, and now you do a show out there. That is like full circle.
It really is, yeah. Because the city of Beaumont, where I went to high school, was tiny little You know, we had 111 people in my graduating class. Yeah. Now it's built up gigantic.
Yeah, I bet your grandparents and parents have some real estate stories.
Yeah, but I mean, that whole area is just, oh, my dad, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The whole area has exploded. I moved out years ago, and I went back and go, oh, my gosh, look how big Beaumont has gotten. Oh, yeah, man.
No, everything has exploded in California, and money, of course, is always... It's an interesting topic. It's a complicated topic, but I have found an app that I got to tell you about, Johnny Cardinale. Robinhood, it's an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. Most other brokerages, as you know, they charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees at all, so that you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there is no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level, which is nice, because a lot of people think, like, I can't invest till I make a ton of money.
Absolutely. As a comedian, I'm going to literally download that app as soon as we're done with this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it should be the opposite. You should get in as soon as you can.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Robinhood has this simple and intuitive design, and it makes investing easy for newcomers, like I said, and experts alike. You can view easy to understand charts and market data and place a trade in just four taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections such as 100 most popular and all sorts of stuff. It's interesting. It's fun to explore. And with Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so that you never miss the right moment to invest. Now, listen to this. Robinhood is giving listeners of Storyworthy a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. No kidding. You can sign up at storyworthy.robinhood.com. That's storyworthy.robinhood.com. You guys head over there, storyworthy.robinhood.com. Johnny Cardinale.
You have a wonderful voice.
I appreciate you doing that as well. Oh, thank you.
You do. Because I do voiceover and stuff, and you have like a great voiceover voice. I'm guessing you've done it.
Not enough.
Nobody does it enough.
It's really frustrating. You know, I'm with this agent who happens to be a really big voiceover agent, Arlene Thornton.
Yeah.
She's been around for probably almost 30 years, mm-hmm. and she's really well known in the voice recording world. And I've been with her for 12 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And she does not send me out at all. It's just, you know how it is. They get a lockdown on that. When people get into voiceover talent, and especially if they do a lot of different incredible voices, characters and all that.
Well, it's just a small, tiny little world of people that just...
And they never stop working.
Yeah.
And it's not like your voice is going to change as you get older. So you can be 60, 70, 80 years old and you're still...
Yep.
So God bless them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to be in there.
I mean, I've booked a few things small, but yeah, that world would be a great world to be in.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Anyway, I'm really excited to hear your story, Johnny. But before we get to your story, I did want to remind everybody to follow me over on Twitter and Instagram at Storyworthy. You see how easy that is? I give you one name to remember, Storyworthy.
Storyworthy. I'm just following you.
It covers the whole storytelling brand of Christine Blackburn.
It's perfect.
And also, you guys, I would be remiss not to mention my other podcast with comedian Rachel O'Brien called Screwed Up Stories. And Rachel and I are having a blast over there on Westwood One podcast, interviewing mostly females. We've recorded about 30, and 29 have been with females.
I was just hanging out with Rachel last night at the Improv.
No kidding. Yes. Well, we want you to come on Screwed Up Stories. Well, because we're just introducing men. We're just introducing you guys. And, you know, it's kind of fun, like, excluding the white male. You know what I mean? Now and then.
Of course.
I like to exclude you guys.
Yes, we need to be excluded. We're everywhere.
Everything. I'm telling you, man.
We are everywhere.
But Rachel and I, we would like to have you. You guys can find us over there at screwedupstories.com. And also, you know what to do. You subscribe, rate, review, and Apple Podcasts, blah, blah, blah. You know that. Okay, you guys, he's here right now, Johnny Cardinale. He has been seen on Jimmy Kimmel, Chelsea Lately, and the feature film Bobby Khan's Ticket to Hollywood. I saw that.
Did you? I just ran into Tarun last night.
Funny stuff, the star man. Of it, yeah. I didn't even realize that. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Your comedy is also featured regularly on SiriusXM's Laughs USA channel.
Yes.
And like you said, you have been a touring headlining comedian for a long time, over 15 years.
Yep.
And so you play comedy clubs all over the place, and you have performed to over 300 colleges. I just can't imagine that. Yeah. Now, those college gigs, what time of day are we talking about?
Well, everybody who's done colleges knows there's things called nooners.
Nooners, right.
I've done a few of those, like, and you're literally, usually it's commuter schools.
Yeah.
When people all leave by 5 p.m., they try to get kids to watch comedy at like noon. So I've done it in libraries. I've done it in cafes. And then, you know, most of the shows are like 7, 8 p.m.
Yeah, which is easier, wouldn't you say?
Oh, way easier. Way easier. You know what I mean? Well, that, you know, I've done, you know, college shows, one to the next, nothing makes sense. As soon as you think you're like, oh, now I got it down, you're like, no, you don't.
That's because
I've been outdoor
kids.
Amphitheaters. But yeah, but also the venues.
Yeah.
So I've been in standing in a corner with a mic and in a, like a little speaker, and I've been in outdoor venues with multi-million dollar sound system.
The worst thing is when you're in a space that's not meant for comedy and the people there don't want to be there for comedy.
Yeah.
So like you're making them shut up and they're just like, I just want to eat my sandwich with my friend and go over my homework or something.
Oh yeah, I've been in libraries where they're looking up from their laptop going, "Are you? Is this seriously happening right now?" You know, and you got to be up there for an hour. For an hour.
I think it's funny. Yeah. I think it is so funny, but I really give you a lot of credit because that is not an easy.
It makes you kind of bulletproof because you know when you first start doing them, you're like, okay, wait, I got to do it now. It's you know, shouldn't we wait for? And then eventually, after you do enough, you're like, you realize, okay, it's not going to be my day. This is not going to be a great set.
Yeah,
like give me the mic. Let's go. Let's get this hour over with.
Jump in and just start going.
That's it.
And then when you go into the military bases, then you can really shine because they want you. They want you to be there. They want to listen to you.
True, but also
like the opposite.
But
yeah?
Sometimes the they definitely do. But sometimes the venues there, like I said, I've been to I've done like in 40 different countries. Sometimes these places, they don't have a great place to perform. Sometimes you're just standing. I've done it outside, like next to an air landing strip where you had to stop because you, you know, plane's getting ready to take off. You literally just have to stop talking, wait till the plane goes, and then start talking again.
That's so funny.
But all the years of doing colleges, it just prepares you for like,
you're right. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
man. You just have to go.
It's not going
to
be perfect. Let's have some fun.
I remember a couple of years ago, several years ago, they were talking about getting stand-up comics to perform in front of jury duty. You know what I mean? So you got like 400 people on jury duty ready to go, and they were trying to bring in comics to ease the waiting.
Yeah, that is that would be. I mean, I know comics used to teach traffic school. Darren Carter,
I did that
actually.
For 2 years.
Did you really?
I taught traffic school for two years.
Oh my gosh!
Improv traffic school. Darren Carter as well.
Yeah. Okay. Oh wow. Okay, she'd go out with them too. I never did it, but I think that's a great idea.
It was amazing. They had to be with me for 8 hours. So
yeah.
It was like, do you
want to
talk about red light tickets or do you want to hear about my life? Because that's what we're gonna do. And I would take like I had like a CD player, like a boombox.
Oh my gosh.
Play music. I would do my whole one woman show and I would do music and it was so funny. And then I would book comics between 12 and 12:30. Jackie Cation did it all the time.
No way, really?
All the time Jackie Cation did
my
show. So did Bobby Lee.
Really?
This is like 1999, 2000.
Wow.
I had some really
I go back with Bobby Lee too.
Yeah, good sized comics coming into my traffic school because, you know, the audience was, you know, required to be there by the state of California. No alcohol. Lights on in the room.
Oh, I think it's just a great win-win.
Yeah, it was a win-win because they were happy to have the reprieve of traffic school and the comics wanted stage time, of course. Everybody wants stage time.
Yeah, I looked into it way back in the day. I just don't know why I never... Oh, I didn't even know you had a cat. I'm like, what is this thing going on right now? This cat just popped its head up.
It's her birthday today.
Oh, really? Happy birthday, darling.
Yes, Sophie is 8 years old today. Anyway, but traffic school, I will say, though, is exhausting because when you're done, you are so tired after 8 hours, like... I would just crash in my car before I could even drive home.
I could imagine.
So tired.
I could
because you're just putting out so much energy for such a long time.
Yeah, and you can't
for $120. It was nothing.
Wow, that
terrible money.
Well, plus you're on. You got to keep all these people entertained.
Yeah,
you can't just.
I got propositioned several times, you know, to just have people, you know, just to sign their certificate. You know, people would offer me hundreds of dollars.
No way,
just
really?
To sign their thing, yes, because they didn't want to sit there.
Oh, I don't blame them.
I did it one time.
You did.
One time, and you knew who it was for, and it was not money. You know what it was for?
What?
A casting director to get
an
audition.
Well, I would have done that. I would have done that, too.
Oh, my God.
I would have done that, too.
All right, listen, you guys, you can find Johnny over there on Twitter at Johnny Cardinale. I'm going to spell it. Johnny, yes, of course, we know that. And then Cardinale, Cardinale. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Johnny Cardinale.
Woo! It's okay. So high school is always awkward for everybody. And I thought of this story a while back. It was, I was a class clown and, you know, in high school, like a lot of comedians are, but I was also very shy. When I was in class, I was a class clown. I'd sit, you know, I generally like to, you know, rip on the teacher and stuff, crack everybody. But as soon as we got outside the class, I wasn't the wild guy outside on campus. I wasn't that guy running around, you know, with, you know, underwear on my head or something like that, yelling at pep rallies. I was actually real serious. It was kind of a, I used to think, why am I like that? But I don't know. But in class, I was the funny one. So I was in science class and I was a sophomore, 10th grade. And, you know, we all had, it was a science class, so two tables of two facing forward. So everybody had a partner. And so me and my buddy Danny, we took class together, so we're partners. So every class, I was sitting right in the middle of the room, I would just be cracking jokes. Mr. Bauer was a teacher, and he was a great teacher, but I was, you know, constantly one-upping him and stuff like that. So I go into class, and he goes, okay, we have a new seating chart. And there was one, I guess we got a new student, and he didn't have a partner. So he swapped me out and put me in the back by myself and put that guy with Danny, you know, to try to shut me up. And I get it. But it worked the exact opposite because now I'm in the back by myself. So now I got free reign of the whole class, you know. So I'm in the back just enjoying life, you know. And I didn't care. I didn't need a partner and stuff like that. So anyhow, then one day, like maybe a month later, we come back to class. He goes, we have a new seating chart. So the third time he's switching it just because of me. So I was a sophomore. In the class, we had sophomores and juniors. Now, one of the juniors was the hottest girl in the entire school. Her name was Christina Figueroa. And she was, she was the one, cheerleader, like the hot. He sits me by her. And I didn't know her, you know. So I'm like, I know what he thought. He goes, he's going to finally shut up because he's going to be nervous around here. And he was completely right for about 2 days. And then her and I just became like fast friends. We were just crack up all class, but it actually worked for the teacher because the whole reason I was trying to crack the class up was to get her attention. Right. I no longer needed to crack the class up. I just cracked her up. Right. So we stayed partners the rest of the year. Right. But anyhow, and we had a great time. Then the next year we agreed to be partners again. You know, I didn't see her other than class. Not like we hung out, you know, she was super popular and I wasn't, you know, she was big time. And so next year, now we decided to be partners again, same class, same teacher. And now she's a senior, I'm a junior, and she's the homecoming queen, right? So I played baseball. I didn't play football. And I don't know how to get to the story, but I went to a football game.
Yeah.
But because I played baseball, I knew the coaches. I was down on the field. And I climbed up my baseball coach, Corky Cloud, his actual name, Corky Cloud. He was He was filming them from up above the pole. You climb up the pole, like sort of the aerial shot. He was filming them up there. So he's like, Johnny, why don't you come up, man? So I climb up the pole and I'm up in this little cage, you know. You know, you're way up there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa. And and during downtime, he's asking me, so what are you doing, man? What's going on? And I'm like, I'm trying to pretend like I'm really cool. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you know, I go, homecoming's coming up. Yeah, I'm thinking about asking Christina Figueroa. You know, I have no intentions, you know. Right. I'm just pretending like I even would have a chance to ask her, you know. I'm thinking about asking Christine if she wants to go. I don't know. We'll see. I didn't know it was being recorded, this whole conversation. So I had no idea. So he takes the recording because, you know, he's recording the footage.
Oh, right.
So he takes the footage and they're playing it for the entire football team. And I knew most of these guys, but I didn't play football. And I didn't, unbeknownst to me, I found this out. Like a couple days later, while they're playing and watching the tape, all of a sudden my voice comes on.
Oh, no.
And it's me talking about how I'm going to ask Christina Figueroa to the homecoming dance. You know what I mean? She's the most popular person in high school, and I'm a nobody. So everybody, all these football players are laughing at me, and they tell Christina. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was like literally like nervous to even go to class. You know what I mean? When you're that age.
Sure.
Like, I don't know. How do I sit next to her now? She knows I like her. And oh, my God, it was terrible. So anyhow, I mean, the story's not good. Doesn't really have like this whirlwind ending, but somehow I go to class and we never discussed it. She was kind of laughing at me, right? And so we never discussed it. I was like so embarrassed. So like we got through it and we ended up having a good year. I never went to the dance with her. I actually never went to the dance. To be honest with you, I was too shy to ask anybody. I never went to prom or junior prom. I never went to any dance at all. Years later, and I mean, her and I are Facebook friends now. She's married, have kids. She still looks as gorgeous today as she did back then. She's just one of those girls who are just beautiful. And we lost touch for years.
Yeah.
And then we reconnected on Facebook. Just, hey, how's you been? Whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then one time, not even that long ago, I told her, I go, look, I brought up that story. And she goes, yeah, I forgot about that. I'm like, okay. I go, let me tell you something, though. I go, I had the biggest crush on you. Finally just said, look, I just want to tell you, I had the biggest crush on you junior year. And I mean, when I was a sophomore and a junior, I would have asked you out in a heartbeat. Hey, you know what I mean? But I was a nobody and you were Christina Figueroa. She emails me back. She goes, why didn't you ask me out? She goes, I had the biggest crush on you the whole time. She goes, everybody thought I was this. She goes, I was like a prude in high school. She goes, I didn't, you know what I mean? She goes, the funnest time I had in high school was science class with you. And she goes, I had you ask me out, I would have gone out in a heartbeat. This whole time. And I realized, oh my God, why didn't I just ask her out no matter what, even if she said no? And you know what? I started realizing after that, I'm still like that today. People think like I'm this, you know, you see me at the improv, I'm talking to everybody. But when it comes to somebody I really like, I get very shy, very shy. And I realize, I go, I really haven't changed much since that person right there. When I really like somebody, you know what I mean? I pretend like I'm, hey, what's up? You know, but when it comes down to actually, hey, would you like to go out? I mean, I get all nervous about that kind of stuff, you know? And I blew it with a girl that I, you know, obviously, you know, looking back now, maybe she's being nice, but she said that was the funnest time I ever had in class, in school, was our 1 hour in science class. She goes, I look forward to it every day.
You know, I don't think this is that unusual for comedians, you know, because it seems to me like, and I know quite a few comedians, there is on one side, not necessarily a bravado, but like a charisma and a confidence that comedians carry around that is super attractive. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Super attractive to everybody because everybody wants to be that confident person. I mean, we even think of Brody Stevens, who recently passed away. I mean, he was the most confident guy, could talk to anybody. I mean, and comedians looked up to him because everybody looked up to him because of his confidence and his ability to just cut right through the bullshit and talk to somebody like a human being, you know, like they're a real person. And that could be the janitor or
any level person,
a senator or movie star. It could be anybody.
Yeah, he treated everybody equally.
He sure did. But on the other side, on the flip side, now, you know, he had a lot of other issues, but I'm just saying it's interesting with a lot of comedians. On one side, there's this, and on the other side, there's this. And I think there is a vulnerability of comedians because once you take all the guard down of being funny,
which is
being,
hard for comedians to do,
being the class clown, especially because it's from being 12, 13, 14 years old. It's not like you just, this personality came upon you when you're 40. You've been acting like this for decades. And so, it would be a different, you know, the transition then to break, you know, let all of your guard down and give yourself to somebody is a really vulnerable place.
And also, I think for me, and I'm guessing for comedians, you almost feel like maybe you're going to disappoint them. Like, oh, you're not that crazy, funny guy all the time.
Yeah.
Now you're just boring, you know, boring, serious guy, you know.
Or they just won't like you at all. Or they'll hurt you.
That too, for sure.
I mean, so there's a lot of heartbreak that goes into it. Because if you've been dumped before, after you've been, you know, vulnerable, it's hard for anybody.
Oh, yeah.
But a comedian has to go out on this, you know, with this happy face and put this act on. It's literally
Right with the whole bravado thing. It's very much, you know, I mean, it's confidence too, but, you know, it starts off, I mean, bravado is a great word.
And
hey,
charisma,
what's going on?
And charisma too. Yeah, charisma as well.
That's a natural thing.
It starts when you get out of the car. You get out of the car, you're walking into the club. You're on. You're on. And you really can't stop. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I feel bad though that you have a longing from, I mean, you know, like I think about this girl. First of all, by the way, I had a science partner, Chris Will, and he and I dissected a fetal pig together. And I still think about how hard we laughed in that class. We laughed so hard.
Is that right?
Yeah. There was this other kid in class, this guy, Mike Healy, who had a full beard in eighth grade.
There's always that one.
And there's always that one. He wore, and then he was bald by 10th grade, and he always wore like this do-rag. And he cut the ear off the fetal pig and put it on a chain and wore it around his neck.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was
also, I know where that guy is now.
Exactly. And also our science teacher, his name was Mr. Gerwood, and he literally paddled kids. He had a paddle. He would hit kids. Get out of here.
Good.
You don't think that.
Good. Paddle them if they got it coming.
You don't think that, do you really? You do not.
Parents should be able to paddle their kids, though.
I just don't believe it. Any of that. But my point is when you're sitting in science class and then they drag some kid into the back room and they
That's
whack
ridiculous.
Them and everybody's sitting there like terrified, like how am I learning science now as I'm hearing
I'm
torture
scarred.
Going on in the back room, and then the tough guy in the class with a fetal pig ear around his neck has to come out with like tears in his eyes, and it's like humiliating for everybody.
Yeah, that's just awkward and uncomfortable and weird.
Why do teachers do that? Why would a teacher put a kid through all that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're trying to set an example, trying to, you know, back in the day, I think obviously before everything was so regulated and everybody knows what's, you know, people didn't talk about it so much. It wasn't like, I don't think that was considered as bad as, you know, like today.
Kids were put, you know, we weren't treated, you know, when I was growing up, kids weren't valued really. We weren't supposed to have a voice. And it was just like, I'm your father and this is what you do. You respect me and here's how it goes. And it was the same in school. I mean, there wasn't a lot of give and take. And there was no parental involvement in school. It's not like parents went in and were helping out or, you know, it was just, authoritative.
I remember my fifth grade teacher and also my sixth grade teacher because I was in his class. Mr. Drum, his name was. He used to not paddle kids, but we had some bratty kids, just bratty, and he would grab them by the arm.
Oh my God.
And put them and sit them down like in like their chair, like forcefully.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, now it wasn't that big of a deal. Nobody got hurt, but nowadays it would be a lawsuit kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I liked the teacher. I never got in trouble. I was just a good student.
Yeah.
Except for being a wise ass. I always got great grades. It's funny because Christina, the girl who I was science was not her thing.
Yeah.
We used to take these tests. They were 100-point tests. And I remember one time I'd get like, you know, 85 would be the lowest I ever got. Usually between 85 and like 95.
That's good.
One time she got an 8. She got about like 8? How do you get 8?
Why didn't you let her cheat?
Oh, I mean, I think I helped her out eventually.
Did you try to let her cheat?
I helped her out eventually, yeah. I called artificial intelligence, by the way.
There you go. Cheating. So Mr. Bauer, he just moved you in the third, he moved you three times.
Three
and
times.
The third time you got next to the girl.
Yep. And it's in her, I'll tell her. I'm going to Facebook message her, tell her to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I want you to. There's a guy that I knew in high school, and he recently, we kind of reconnected on Twitter or whatever, and he ended up writing me this long email about how, you know, he wished he had invited me out more. Or,
really?
You know, like pushed, he wishes that, I think we never really went out, but he wishes that we had, and he kind of like let out a lot of these feelings. He talked about my family, my dad stopping by our house, and like all this stuff. It was really personal when I was a child, and he was kind of saying the same thing. Like, I wish I had asked you out because you could have been with me, and then because I know you've had a lot of difficulties in your life, and had you been with me, I wouldn't have cheated on you, and I wouldn't have got another girl pregnant. Because you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it means in some he's been thinking about you ever since this entire time.
That's my point.
That's unbelievable.
So it's kind of heavy.
It is.
And I've heard my brother talk about a girl that he let go when he was like 15, and my brother still talks about Lucy Rambacher.
Wow.
And it's like, Scotty, you're 59. But there's something
It's impactful. You know, it's funny. When we moved out here, we were talking about how I moved out here when I was 10.
Yeah.
So fourth grade, you know, I went to the school, you know, first, second, third, fourth, a pretty popular kid. But I had a bunch of friends. And then I was just in the section where the next year that school was closing. They were dividing all the students up to two different schools.
Oh.
I was, for some reason, geographically, it's always been weird for me. I was the last kid. Every kid I knew from school was going to the one school, and I was going to a brand new school.
Oh, God.
So I'm in fifth grade now, and I go there, and I don't know anybody. So you're just, you know, you're weird, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I got into it. And there's this girl named Pam.
Yeah.
Short, little hair, I remember her. And just thought she was the cutest thing in class. I'd always lock in on one girl in class, even when I was young. Just like, gosh, she was cute. But I never talked to her. I was too nervous, even back in the fifth.
Sure, sure,
and
sure.
We're talking fifth grade now.
I get it.
So anyhow, 6 weeks later, my dad tells us we're moving.
Wow.
And one of the things that this teacher did, which I thought was really cool in class, she goes, hey, before we start, does anybody have any announcements? And talk about speaking in public. Get up there by the chalkboard.
That's really cool. And I do like that.
And say, hey, guys. And, you know, kids would go up there. Hey, guys, my dad just opened an ice cream shop. So if you guys want to stop by, first cones on my dad, blah, blah, blah. Oh, great, everybody. But, you know, the times. And so I got up there. And then somebody, if somebody wanted to comment on, they could comment. And
so
it was
the
craziest thing. I get up there and I go, hey, guys, I'm moving to California. I go, I think it was like Tuesday or something like that. And I go, Friday will be my last day in class. And it was like, oh, you know what I mean? You know, and I, like I said, I'd never spoken to this girl, Pam. I just had a crush on her from a distance. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Pam stands up and goes, I just want to say, I'm really sorry to see you go, Johnny. She goes, I'm really going to miss you. She goes, I wish we could have gotten to know you more, you know what I mean, in the class. And I'm like, I still think about that.
Right.
Yeah, I was like
kind.
Her of all the people to stand up.
Do you think that move was the break for you in terms of when you, because it seems like to me, all the comics I know, there's a break. There's something that goes down when you're younger that makes you then forever in your life need that approval of people liking you or getting approval in some way or another, trying to recreate a moment where you broke as a child and didn't get the ending satisfaction. So you keep doing it your whole life. I mean, I'm just saying it's very common. And I have another friend whose parents held him back in fifth grade and all his friends went on to sixth grade. Ooh. And he got held back and that has messed him up.
I could imagine.
And he's a comedian, of course.
Well. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, I mean, he's a great guy. I don't mean to say messed up mentally. I'm just saying, like, that was a break for him. For me, it was my father leaving when I was 15. And as soon as he left, it was like, boom, we're done. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's a break.
There is a break. My mother left when I was four. Mm. I lived with my dad, and my dad went through divorce after divorce after divorce. Four divorces, seven kids.
Wow.
I talk about it and say it's funny, but also, when you said the move, when I moved to California, that was also in some ways the break because I went from being super popular, like a kid, friends all over the place. My dad wouldn't see me all the weekends gone playing kickball to isolation.
Right.
That hour away from school, bus ride. And I didn't have any friends like that I could just
No social media and you have nobody to hang out with.
That's
so only power you have is your words, your voice.
Yeah, and just a lot of alone time.
And watching TV.
Yeah, that.
Did you watch comedy?
I did. I don't know about comedy. I mean, I was pretty young, but.
But I mean, sitcoms. And
oh, of
like,
course.
And you
of
saw Los course. Angeles and you thought, well, I'm kind of close.
Yeah, I mean, when I came to LA, I might as well have been coming from Ohio because we never came out to Hollywood. We never came out here. I was on Sunset Boulevard when I finally moved, I couldn't even believe I was on Sunset Boulevard.
Even though you were only lived about 45 minutes out of the
about
city.
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours east.
Yep,
I see.
That's it. We never came here. I was like a small town kid. I remember the first time I went to the Comedy Store, just bought my ticket and just sat there. And I was like five rows back. I'm like, I remember looking at that stage, the OR, the original room, and I go, wow. Because I was only thinking about doing stand-up comedy. I didn't think I could actually do it at this time.
Sure.
I go, I'm 10 feet away from that stage and I'm a million miles away from that stage.
Wow.
I used to go, how do those people walk up there? And then, like, 2 years later, I was up on that stage all the time.
So great.
Yeah, crazy.
So great. How old were you when you first went in there, do you think?
When I first went in, mid-20s, I guess.
Yeah, interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't get out. You know, my first time in the Comedy Store, I was probably 31. But it was very much the same experience, you know, looking at the wall and seeing all those,
the
fluorescent lights, names, and you see all, you know, you see the names and you think, like...
It's history, man.
How do people get from this to that?
Yeah.
It's such a journey.
It is a bizarre, weird journey. Sometimes I still wonder, how did I get here?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Like before I go up on stage, I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Am I a real comedian or am I pretending to be a comedian?
Well, it's a scary thing. And sometimes people, you know, you get afraid thinking like, am I going to be found out? Am I a fraud? I mean, am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to get, you know, kicked back?
They say Sid Caesar spent his whole life sort of depressed because he never truly thought he was funny.
Wow.
And he thought he goes, someday I'm going to get found out. Sid Caesar.
Here's what I sometimes think. And this is, I have been doing a lot of comedy recently, actually, but more than that, like as a performer, I think to myself, here's the thing: what I am, I'm more than fine. Am I great? No. Do I suck? No. Am I fine? I'm better than fine. I'm good. I'm engaging. I know people will listen to me. So that I feel like that's not a bad headspace to be in.
Absolutely. You know what Jerry Seinfeld said about comedians?
What?
He goes, you know what the great comedians are? They're consistently good.
Yeah.
He goes, anybody can be great one night.
Yeah.
He goes, the great comedians are consistently good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll have an off night or something like that there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they go out there, they know how to. And I go, that's pretty fair assessment.
I like to just be good.
Just solid.
Solid.
Time.
That's
you know
all.
What I mean? I think the one thing I've learned doing comedy for a long time, and I think you just only can get this by doing it for a while, is even when you're up on stage, just have fun.
Yeah.
If things aren't going well, you know, I look at a guy like Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
Every time I see that guy, a lot of people got an opinion about that guy. Every time I see that guy, it looks like he's having a blast on stage, and so is the audience.
Yeah, that's
and
very
I go,
true.
That, I love comedy
and he's not
like
even
that.
Telling many jokes. He's telling very few jokes.
A lot of people say
matter.
That. Guy like Brian Callen, they say he doesn't have punchlines. Who cares?
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
He's happy and he wants
to
be there.
Yes, exactly.
That's really a good note.
That's my 90% of comedy, I think, is having... 90%, by the way, any type of performance.
Yeah.
One time I went and saw Billy Idol in concert in Hollywood. My friend had a free ticket. This is years ago. I'm like, I like Billy Idol, whatever.
Yeah.
Might be the greatest concert I've ever seen.
Wow, that's
because it was
amazing.
At the Roxy, and it was like this, you know, LA audience, too cool for school, not really getting into it. And I'm watching him and go, This guy could care less.
He took it down. Four songs in,
he had that crowd bowing to him because he was just having so much fun. Powerful performer this guy is.
Well, before I do I have a solo show that I've been doing. One's coming up in Pittsburgh on April 20th. And before I go on stage for the solo show, and I've done it now about 10 times, I always say to myself, Christine, here's the thing. If you're freaking out and not having fun and stressed about a cue or a light or whatever, then the audience feels that. So rather than to be stressed out, just have fun. And when you forget a line or the guy screws up the cue, like I had a picture put on stage, you know, put behind me way too soon, you know, killed the whole joke. You know, that kind of stuff. You have to like stop in the middle and just say, what are you doing, man? And call it out and make it a moment. And then people that are in the audience, they don't really mind that because they think.
Mind that? They love that.
Yeah, they're like, this is the real live theater experience. That's why I'm not in the movie theater. It. I'm in a live theater and this is the shit that happens. So the performer has to just think like, I just got to go with it and just, and call out the moment. Well, I'm just saying, because there's another way to go, which is just to commit and plow through and not stop your act.
Yeah.
But I feel like, especially if you're a solo performer or a stand-up or a storyteller, it's better to break it down.
Become a human.
And call it out. Yeah, like, what the hell is going on here or whatever.
It's the greatest. I mean, that's the real stuff right there. Yeah. As long as you're comfortable, the whole audience is comfortable. It doesn't matter what's going on. Yeah. Your story can be the greatest story ever. If you're comfortable, whole audience is along for the ride.
All right, man. You've given me more inspiration. I'm excited.
I'm excited.
Thank you, Johnny Cardinale. I'm so happy you came on the show. Really, this is great. Great, great, great story.
And by the way, your show at the Improv in the Lab is fantastic.
Thank you, Story Smash.
Story Smash, yeah. Thanks, seen it twice now, can't wait to see the next
one. Thank you so much. I'll have you on. You should play.
I would love to do it, yes.
I think you'd be really, really good. You'd be great. You're always on your toes.
I am.
Good. Excellent. All right, you guys, I do have to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Tweet Johnny over there on Twitter, like I said, at Johnny Cardinale, and then tweet me over there as well at Storyworthy. And I want to thank the sponsors on the show today. Really, you guys, when you check out my sponsors and you support them, then you're supporting me. Hooray! And my child. Yes, I have a child. No, she's not here now. Johnny's looking around.
I didn't know you had a child. Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh, no. That's my dollhouse over there.
Oh, that's your dollhouse.
No, that's just my dollhouse.
All right. We have some weird hobbies. Okay.
All right, you guys. On behalf of the very talented Johnny Cardinale, thank you so much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.